It's morning, everybody. I feel we should have counted down that together as it's New Year's Eve. You know, that's what we do on New Year's Eve, isn't it? We do countdowns together. But anyway, welcome to all of you. It is so lovely to stand up the front here and look around and see faces from all our different congregations. There is, we never these days, well, very rarely these days, have a chance of all getting together as a joint service because we are now too many. But it's so lovely this morning just to see people from the midweek, from the Six, from All Saints, from our 10:30 congregation here, from Early Birds, possibly even. Yes, Helen's here from Early Birds. And lovely to see some faces I don't recognise. Welcome to all of you. And some old friends too I've spotted coming in. Nice to see you. Lisa and Emma particularly. We are here on this special day, the last day of 2023, and I think it's really great when actually New Year's Eve falls on a Sunday, because I think it's really important to finish the year with God and to look forward with God as we start a new year. And that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be looking back, we're going to be looking forward. We're going to be just opening our hearts for God to encounter us afresh. And I want to just encourage you, come expectantly this morning. It can sometimes feel that this service, they call it Low Sunday, because attendance is lower than any other Sunday. And actually, so you can think, well, actually all the Christmas stuff is done and they're the big important services, but come expectantly this morning to meet with God. Because God longs to meet with each one of us, to transform our hearts, to turn our hearts afresh towards him. And we come to just honour God, to give him the glory, to praise him for all that he has done and for all that he is. So we're going to begin with saying some words from Psalm 96. These words, there's a particular line in this, why I chose this. They talk about praising God's name, proclaiming his salvation day after day. And on this special day, we just think of those times where we have praised God each day of last year. And in some ways saying this is our commitment to say, actually, as I go into 2024, I'm going to commit to praising God each day of this coming year. So let's stand, shall we, if you're able, and say these words together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
And we're going to praise God by singing that great carol, Joy to the World. And if any children or any adults want to come and grab a flag and an instrument, then please do.
Let us receive a king. Let us
thank you that joy has come to the world. We thank you that as we continue to celebrate the good news of Christmas, that you loved us so much that you came as a baby to die for us, to show us how to live, to transform the world. We praise you, we give you thanks, and just ask that as we worship you this morning, that you will soften our hearts towards you even more. That actually you will meet us, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. And that each one of us, whether we're young or old, will go away from here singing your praises and knowing that you go with us into this new year. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do please take a seat. We're going to have two readings today, and we're going to have a little mini talk and then a little slightly less mini talk. But Ali's going to come and read the first couple of verses to us.
Today's reading is taken from Colossians 2, and it's verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live our lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
So, I wonder what picture you think of when you think of New Year's Eve. Anyone want to shout out any pictures they think of in their minds? Fireworks, that was the one I was looking for. That's probably a big picture in our minds. Many of us will be watching that tonight, I suspect. Or some people might watch the New Zealand version and go to bed early. But I think this picture actually is another very appropriate picture for 2024 as we enter the new year. A picture of an empty road, a road where we perhaps can't see very far ahead, a road which speaks of much potential, but a road where we're not quite sure what we will find and where it will lead. You know, as I was just trawling through some pictures to put on the PowerPoint for this service, I found this, and I just thought that the text and the picture just was really helpful. Look back and thank God. Look forward and trust God. Look around and serve God. What a great phrase to dwell on New Year's Eve. And that's what we're going to be doing and looking at today. We're first going to look back and thank God. And then we're going to look forward and recommit ourselves to trusting him into this new year. But it's really important, I think, to look back first. You know, the verse that Ali has just read to us here, it's one of my favourite verses in the Bible, describes, I think, a bit of life as a bit of a journey. Just as we started our journey with Jesus, these verses remind us to keep going, to keep travelling with him, to continue to let Jesus be our companion on our journey. And a way to help us keep going, I think, is to look back and be thankful. You know, when we stop to acknowledge what God has done for us, helping us through the tough times, providing for us when we were in need, giving us peace and joy in the troubled times, when we remember these things, it strengthens us for the journey ahead. It builds up our faith and encourages us to keep on trusting him. So we're going to take some time now to just stop and look back on this last year and to thank God. And to do this, I'm going to hand over to Helen.
Okay, so we're going to spend a few minutes now looking back over 2023 and thinking about what we're thankful for, as David said. So in the ends of all the rows and on the windowsills at the front, there are some paper hearts and some pencils. So if you can take those out and pass them along the rows, that would be great. Okay, so we're going to think, just as Dave has just said, about what's God done for us in this last year. helping us in tough times, providing for us when we were in need, giving us peace and joy. So just think for a few moments and then write or draw on your paper heart what you want to say thank you for. And once you've done that, if you'd like to bring them forward and put them in the manger with baby Jesus, that would be lovely. So just quietly think, what are you thankful for over the last year? If you're still writing, don't worry, you can bring the hearts up during the next songs that we sing. But I'm just going to say a prayer for all these hearts that are already in the manger. So let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we look back over the last year, we bring you our thankful, grateful hearts. You have blessed us and those that we love in so many ways. We praise you and thank you. Amen. So in Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, come to worship him with thankful hearts and songs of praise. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing. I can't remember what we're going to sing, but we're going to sing something. And over to the worship team. Stand if you're able when you finish writing. So we've looked back over the last year with thankfulness to God for all he's done. But I wonder if there are also things, as we look back, that we need to bring to God and say sorry for. That everyone should have a stone. If you haven't got a stone, wave your hand. And, oh, Dave hasn't got a stone. Sorry. There are some spare stones at the back. So we're going to use these stones as a time of saying sorry. So I'm competing with Sylvia. So as we hold these stones, we're going to think back. Just as some of these stones are bumpy or not quite perfect, we recognise that we too don't always get things right. Maybe we don't love others as we should, or we use unkind words, or we behave in ways not honouring to God. And these stones feel heavy in our hands. Are our hearts heavy with things we need to say sorry for? And we're just going to take a few moments just in quiet reflection, thinking over last year and thinking, is there anything we need to say sorry for? So just quietly in your hearts and your heads, just think and say sorry in your own prayers to God. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times we take for granted all that you've done for us. Father God, you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Please forgive us. Draw close to us. Embrace us once again in your loving arms and help us to follow you every day of our lives. Amen. We're going to have communion a bit later, and when you come up for communion, if you'd like to come, bring your stone and put it in the basket. This is a symbol of handing those sorry things over to God and being forgiven by him. So thank you. Pauline is going to come and bring our Bible reading now.
The reading this morning is taken from Mark 12, and it's verses 28 to 34, and the reading can be found on page 1018 of the Church Bible. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You were right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we've spent some time looking back and thanking God. And it's so lovely, you can't see it from here, but I can. So lovely to see all these different coloured hearts with all these different things that we're thanking God for here in the manger. Come and have a look when you come past for communion. But now we're going to take some time looking forward. Looking forward to how we can trust and serve God in this year ahead. But first of all, I want to ask you a question. Who likes rules? Yes, I thought the Baxter family might. I knew there'd be some. But there's quite a few other people who don't like rules. You know, when I was a boy, I thought that being a Christian was all about following a set of rules. You know, it was all about doing the right thing and behaving right. In the church I grew up in, which was a great church, you know, as a boy, we used to regularly read out the Ten Commandments at each service, especially when I was a choir boy. Can you imagine that? But the Ten Commandments, if you look at them, actually, are a list which all but two start off with, "Thou shalt not." Now, don't get me wrong, the Ten Commandments are really important, and God's guidelines as to how he wants us to live. But when Jesus came, he put these slightly differently. You see, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He didn't start with a whole load of thou shalt nots, but decided to say it differently and use a different word. A word which actually you don't find in any of the Ten Commandments. And of course that word is love. Because Jesus wanted more than anything to show us that being a Christian wasn't just about following a set of rules and being good, but it was about love and relationship with the God of the whole universe. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments and how we were to live by simply saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's so simple, isn't it? And yet we can make it so, so complicated. Jesus simply said, you know, the key to being a Christian is to love God and love others. And I think that's something that's so important for us to be reminded of here on New Year's Eve as we enter a new year. So let's just think very briefly about what does it mean to love God, first of all, with all our hearts and soul and our minds. Now, I want to ask you another question, and I've got the roving mic ready. What do you end up doing if you love somebody? Any thoughts? Anyone brave enough? Just keep it clean.
It means, like, when you love them and, like, first when my friend, like, who was at, where we made the Christingles, that was John Luke, and like I made friends with him at my old preschool.
And when you got good friends, what do you want to do? You want to spend time with them, don't you? And that's what you did making the Christingle, wasn't it? Great. And I think when you love somebody, actually you want to spend time with them. Any other suggestions? At the back, shout out. You care for them, don't you? Brilliant. Any other suggestions? Yeah.
You end up doing things you never thought.
You end up doing things you never thought. Yeah, good one, Mary. Lots of things. You know, I'll blacken this one. You know, I think there's something there about what loving God is all about too. You know, if we love God, we'll want to spend time with him. You know, actually, we'll care about actually whether we make God happy or not by the way we live.
And actually, loving God might end up leaving us to do things which we wouldn't otherwise do, because actually we love God. I think it's about prioritizing God, isn't it? You prioritize the ones you love. It's about putting God first. It's about following his ways. And actually, as we do so, actually that makes God really happy. So that's something about loving God with all of your hearts. But what about loving our neighbors as ourselves? Again, shout out, you know, how might it look if we love our neighbors? What might that look like? Any suggestions?
You know, I think actually Jesus showed us what it means to love your neighbor, didn't he? You know, caring for others, particularly the poor, the needy, welcoming all, being generous, forgiving others, loving our enemies, not just going after our own needs, but actually bringing God's light and love to others too. You know, I think these verses, loving God with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, are just really special verses to reflect on today. But the question I want to ask for each one of us is this. When we're doing this, are we following a set of rules, or is it coming from the heart? When we're doing this, are we following a set of rules, or is it coming from the heart? I think it's quite easy to follow the rules without loving anyone. We can follow the rules because we don't want to get caught, because we don't want to get punished. And so we often do what we're told to. I'm thinking of myself driving up Peachfield Road up to All Saints when I see the speedometer just tick over slightly over 30. I'm actually bring it back because I'm following the rules because I don't want to get caught. Not actually because I'm thinking I want to drive safely and not hurt anybody. And I think sometimes we can follow the rules of praying, coming to church, singing praises to God, and we can follow the rules of being kind to others and serving others, but we actually do these things out of duty and not love for God and for others, as I have found sometimes over the years. And actually what God wants is not the duty, not the following the rules, but he wants our hearts. He wants our response to him and others to come from a place of deep love, not of fear, or punishment, or guilt. You see, right at the heart of being a Christian is love, because right at the heart of God is love. And if we really love God, we will also love our neighbor, and we'll follow God's guidelines anyway, because we want to please God. We want to make him happy, because our response, that's our response to God for what he's done for us. So at the start of this year, my question is, do we need to realign our hearts again? Where have we been doing things because it was the right thing to do, out of duty, out of habits, out of fear, out of guilt perhaps, whilst our hearts have actually grown hard and cold? You know, New Year's Eve is a great time to ask God to soften our hearts once more, to fill us afresh with his love, that we might truly love him and our neighbor with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strengths. Because if we do truly do this, then our road ahead in 2024 will be guaranteed to be a special and fruitful journey, whatever life will throw at us. I just want to invite you now just to pause. And maybe you might need to acknowledge before God where your heart has grown cold, where you've been doing things because that's the right thing to do. And just in your own words, in your own hearts, just ask God to fill you with his love again, to give you his love, to love him and to love others this year as he so calls you to. And just allow him to meet you in this space here, 31st of December, 2023. Lord Jesus, come and transform our hearts. Come and soften hearts that have gone hard. Come and set on fire again hearts that have grown cold. May all we do in this coming year be a response to your great love for us. And may we be the people you've called us to be, to go out into our world and bring your love and your light to our neighbours, to our friends, to our families, to our enemies. But we know that has to start with you and with our hearts. Transform us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And just before we share communion, we're going to sing of the love of God, how deep the Father's love for us. Let's just dwell again on the love that God has for each one of us and all that he's done for us. And therefore we go into 2024 as a response to that love. Stand if you're able. As we come to gather around the Lord's table, we're first going to share the peace with each other. And as we do, you know, it's an opportunity to just pray God's peace on each other as we enter a new year. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. It's a peace which the world cannot give. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
and also with you.
Let's offer one another a sign of the peace.
Peace be with you, Amen. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. Thanking God more than anything for his death on the cross in Jesus and how that has, as we just sung, brought us life. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right to give thanks and praise.
It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And do sit or kneel as we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As Helen mentioned, there's a chance to bring your stones up, and I've put the basket in the manger along with all the thank you prayers. And just for you, that may be about actually confessing something and leaving it here before God at the end of this year. It may also actually just be for you a symbol of just laying down the difficult stuff of this year, of just laying it down before God and saying, "Actually, take it, Lord. I'm going to give it to you as I go into a new year." Whatever's helpful for you, use that as a symbol for that, to offer yourselves and your burdens and your struggles and all the difficult stuff to God this New Year's Eve. We're going to be having communion from two stations. Paul and Alice are going to be at the back, and Helen and I will be at the front. Do come as you're directed. We've got non-alcoholic wine at the front only. All the bread is gluten-free bread, and if you would just like a blessing, then please just put your hands in front of you and we will give you a blessing. But do take this opportunity. It's an opportunity to just encounter God afresh, to dwell on those words of loving God and loving our neighbours as we go into this year. Let God meet you with his love. And actually, as you come and receive, may that be a sign of you wanting to say to God, I want to serve you this year. I want to follow you. I want to journey with you into 2024. As we close, we're going to take this opportunity to say what many of you will know is the Methodist covenant. The Methodists are great at actually making a covenant with God at the beginning of a new year. And these words are really key words. They're big words. They're really hard words to say because we're offering ourselves to God, whatever that's going to look like, trusting him, trusting that he will go with us in whatever the year holds. I'm actually going to put it on first so that you can see what you're going to say, because actually these words are not to be said lightly. And if you don't feel able to say these words, then feel free not to say them. So God made a covenant. Actually, let's stand, shall we? God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love. This covenant was renewed in Jesus in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God's. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commandments. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure. Where there is work for me and where there is none. When I am troubled and when I am at peace. Your will be done when I am valued and when I am disregarded. When I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things, and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. And of course, we don't seek to have to live that covenant out on our own. But God gives us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to guide us, to show us what the right way is. And so we go in the strength of God's Spirit to live that out this coming year. And so our final carol, we're going to finish off by singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Mm-hmm. here. First of all, to say that normal services resume this week, so there will be a midweek service this week, and then normal services at All Saints and St Andrews next Sunday. The Bereavement Cafe is running tomorrow morning, and that faithful team of bereavement support group will be at the Railway Inn tomorrow. Coming up is our Alpha course, starting on Thursday, the 11th of January, from 12:30 until 2:30, just a four-week Alpha Light introduction to Alpha course. If you are exploring faith, if you're wanting to know more about what we've been talking about today, but don't yet know it for yourselves, or if you've got a friend who might be interested, please do grab one of these leaflets, book onto that course, come and try it out. If you don't like it the first week, you don't need to come the second week. We have the opportunity now to just have fellowship with each other over coffee and the leftover mince pies. Can I just encourage you not to stick with your own congregational groups, but to go and meet someone new today, someone from a different church or congregation, and make the most of us being together and ask them about what goes on in their congregation and just anything else you might like to ask them. But let's mingle with each other today and particularly look out for anyone who might be on their own. So a final prayer, a New Year's prayer. Lord, you make all things new. You bring hope alive in our hearts and cause our spirits to be born again. Thank you for this new year, for all the potential it holds. Come and kindle in us a mighty flame so that in our time many will see the wonders of God and live forever to praise your glorious name. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and always. Amen. And it just leaves me to wish you all a very happy 2024 with God, with whatever he brings, as we journey together along that road that he calls us to walk. Bless you all, and enjoy the mince pies.